moment, moment, non-stop flowing. This from Joshu, which I brought up at the end of last week. Moment, moment, everything comes out of nothingness. This is the true joy of life. This is from Suzuki Roshi, Shunryo Suzuki Roshi. I brought these up last week as encouragements and supports for our practice. Even though we get often caught up or entangled in knowing, it's important to treat that as our practice opportunity, to treat that as the opportunity to be this life that we always are. We get caught up into this means that, this is because, it reminds me of, and often we take off from there. We are missing this joy of life that we always are, this coming out of nothingness. We dam up, so to speak, this non-stop flowing with our knowing, with yes, no, me, mine, not me. Then this beginner's mind is covered over and missed. It's not destroyed, not anywhere else, but it's not sensed, not manifested in our life function. When we hold on to I, me, mine, then this can poison us with self-centeredness. It can fester and come forth in a harming and suffering and consequences. So I want to bring up three different useful, we'll call them past. First is from Linji. Linji is also known as Rinzai in Sino-Japanese. Linji was a beginning monk in the assembly of Wangbo. He was praised by the head monk to the teacher, to Wangbo. He said, though he's a youngster, he's different from others. So he wanted to encourage him, he meaning the head monk. He asked him, how long have you been here? And Linji said, 3 years. Have you ever gone to Sanzen, asked for instruction? No, I've never asked for instructions. I don't know what to ask. So the head monk said, why don't you go and ask, what is the cardinal principle of Buddha Dharma? So he went and he asked Wangpo. And before he was finished speaking, Wangpo hit him. Linji came back and he told the head monk, before I'd finished speaking, the master hit me. I don't understand. The master said, excuse me, the head monk said, go and ask him again. So Linji went back and asked, and again Wangpo hit him, and then he asked again a third time, and again he was hit. So Linji came back to the head monk and said, it was very kind of you to send me to ask. 3 times I asked, and 3 times I was hit. I regret that some obstruction caused me, prevents me from grasping the meaning. I'm going away for a while. Go somewhere else. The head monk said, if you're going away, you should formally take your leave from the master. So Linji agreed. But right away, the head monk then went to Wangpo's quarters and said, The young man who's been questioning you is a man of Dharma. If he comes to take his leave, please handle him expeditiously. In the future, if he has good training, I'm sure he'll become a great tree which will provide shade for people of the world. So Linji came to take his leave formally. And Wangpo said, don't go anywhere but to Dayu's place by the river. He'll be sure to explain things to you. So that's what Linji did. And then he arrived at Dayu's temple, and Dayu said, where have you come from? Linji said, I've come from Wangpo's place. And what did Wangpo have to say? Asked Dayu. 3 times I asked him just what the cardinal principle of the Buddha Dharma is, and 3 times he hit me. I don't know whether I was at fault or not. Dayu said, Wangpo is such a grandmother that he utterly exhausted himself with your troubles, and now you come here asking whether you were at fault or not? At these words, Linji had attained great awakening. Ah, he said, there isn't so much to Wangpo's Buddha teaching. Dayu grabbed him and said, you bedwetting little devil, you just asked whether you were at fault or not, and now you say there isn't so much to his teaching? What did you see? Speak. So Linji jabbed Dayu 3 times, and Dayu shoved him away, and he said, you have Wangpo for a teacher. It's not my business. There's more to that, but that's enough for this morning's talk. So let me also speak about Kyogen. Some of you are familiar with Kyogen because Mushin has talked about Kyogen's man up a tree or person up a tree hanging from a branch by his teeth. So you're familiar with him, but let me give you a little background. Kyogen was very smart. When people would ask about Buddha Dharma, he would say all sorts of wonderful things. He knew all the texts and he knew all the teachings. So he was at Yakujo's for a period of time, and then Yakujo died, and he went to Isan. Isan said to him, I'm not going to ask you about what you have learned from your reading or from your study of the sutras. Instead, tell me this. What is your true self? What is the yourself before you were born out of your mother's womb? Before you knew east from west? Kyogen didn't know how to answer this. He was stupefied. He racked his brains and he offered all sorts of answers, but Isan brushed them aside. He went through his studies, his memory. Finally, he said, I beg you, please explain it to me. And Isan said, what I say belongs to my own understanding. How could it benefit your mind's eye? So Kyogen then went, looked at his notes, looked at his books, looked at all the different schools of Buddhism, but he couldn't find an answer to Isan's questions. He thought to himself, I can't fill an empty stomach with paintings of rice cake. So he burned all his books and papers and decided, I'm going to give up this study of Buddhism. I'm just going to be what he called a rice gruel monk for the rest of my life and avoid torturing myself. So he left Isan and he wandered. Finally, he came to the tomb of the national teacher. And he decided he was going to become the gravekeeper. He did this in the sense because he felt dejected because he was unable to resolve Isan's questions. But nevertheless, he would do this. This was a wonderful way that he was going to practice. So he would sweep and clean up and take care. One day, when he was sweeping the ground, a stone that he hit with the broom struck the bamboo. At this, he awakened. He forgot himself, and all of a sudden, he burst out into loud laughter. Returning to his hut, Kyogen performed the ceremonies of purification, and he offered incense and paid homage to his teacher Isan, who was far away. And with the great gratitude, he said, "Great Master, thank you. Your kindness to me is greater than even that of my parents. If you had explained this to me when I begged you to give me an answer, I would have never reached where I stand today." In my own experience, I began formal Zen practice with two teachers, and I practiced with them for 3 years. And at some point, I felt that I couldn't get any further. I just couldn't resolve even my beginning koan. Traveling around a bit, I visited various zendos and then decided that I was going to move. I was living at a zendo in New York, and I was going to move to a zendo in California. So I told my teacher in New York that and packed myself up into a car and was going to drive cross country. And as I was saying goodbye and getting into the car, he gave me some advice about where I was getting stuck in my first koan, and that I was looking in the wrong direction. Very useful advice. I won't say more about that. I can talk individually about it, but I'd rather not just talk in public. I've also written about this, so you could find this in my book, talking about Mu. I know very clearly that his advice made a great difference when I came to the new practice place and worked on this koan further, and at a certain point resolved it to the satisfaction of my teacher and myself, and then continued to practice. So this was very valuable to me, that one, I was forced by over and over rejection of my presentations of my understanding, and I was given a little very useful push or two in how to work, how to be this calm. This is very important in our practice, especially in koan practice. I know many of you are not doing koan practice, but what I began today's talk with, the quote from Joshu and Suzuki Roshi, Joshu Zenji, are always where we are. Always the truth is this moment, moment, non-stop flowing, this coming out of nothingness that is the joy of our life. And yet, though there's nothing that we lack, we must practice with all the ways that we entangle using various forms so that we can truly be who we are, truly be this life that is always the life of the universe, being just this moment, and then seeing how and where to skillfully work, skillful effort when caught in self-centered dream, when holding to self-centered thoughts, which arise and which we believe and entangle. So I'll close with a quote from Hakuin Zenji. If you fear death, die now. Having died once, you won't die again. Thank you.